Support for the Closing Market Report comes from Agrigold Hybrids, featuring the Agrigold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at agrigoldgiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for March 15, 2011. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Mike Barwinski of Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City. In agricultural news, the latest assessments of what Japan's earthquake and tsunami could mean to U.S. agriculture. We'll have that in other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will examine the high wire act faced by U.S. pork producers. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Let's take a look at some of the settlements. A lot of the contracts in corn and soybeans down the limit today, and soybean oil. May wheat in Chicago had a high today of 723.5, low 661, settled at 667.75, down 53. July settled at $7.50, down 52.5. September at 737.75, down 51.75. And December wheat settled at 764.25, down 50.25. May corn settled down the 30-cent limit at 636 after reaching a high of 667.75. July had a high of 674.25, settled at 642.5, down the 30-cent limit. September settling at 594, down 30. December at 548, down 30. The May soybeans settled down 70 cents at 1270 after hitting a high at 1346 today. July settled at 1278, down 70. August at 1273.5, down 70. And November soybeans at 1238, down 70. The soybean meal for May settled at 340.80, down 1470. And the soybean oil for May and July settling down 250. The May contract at 52.88 after a high of 55.71. July had a high of 56.27, a low of 53.45 where it settled. Again, that was down 250.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Taking a look at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says light rain will occur in the eastern Corn Belt today as a weak low-pressure system moves through. Totals range from 2/10 to 9/10 of an inch. Mostly dry conditions will occur Wednesday, but a second low-pressure system will bring light precipitation to the entire region Thursday through Friday. Rain will be the dominant form of precipitation, but may mix with freezing rain and wet snow in eastern North Dakota and near and along a line from northeast Nebraska to central Michigan. Moisture totals will range from 1/10 to 6/10 of an inch, with little to no snow accumulation. Join us this evening at the American Legion Post in Mazan, Illinois, for another one of our free Illinois Public Media Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting begins at 6:30 with a light dinner and the meeting following immediately thereafter. Panelists include Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and Jerry Goodell of North American Risk Management Services. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Jay Pearson. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon.
Well, we're seeing a lot of down-the-limit red in the corn and the beans and down into the soybean oil. Wheat down in the 45 to 50-cent lower range. Are we still looking at the Japan effect here?
I'm afraid we are. The bearish theme has been tied to Japan. There's a lot of worry and panic over the nuclear meltdowns. You know, as we heard, got news of the one other explosion over there today, and the possibility of some more radioactivity being spread about is when the market broke the second leg down today. We've seen whenever the Nikkei has collapsed at night, we seem to see the grain market follow it, and we think that there's some money, you know, that has to be pulled out of commodities to help maybe pay for some of the worldwide Nikkei losses somewhat that way. You know, as we look today at the outside markets, the crude oil, the our Dow Jones, the S&Ps, and the dollar itself, and even the gold didn't seem to be down as bad as what the grain markets ended up tailing off. So long liquidation, a lot of, you know, there's estimates just around the noontime today that the funds had sold somewhere between 32,000 and 34,000 contracts of corn and 15,000 to 20,000 contracts of beans. So that sort of liquidation is very heavy. We are seeing some commercial buying at the lower levels.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think it's going to take? Are we going to wait the whole 2.5 weeks until the federal report comes out
to
the crop? Yeah, planting and crop,
Gosh, I sure hope not. I don't know if there'll be any farmers left with any hair or if they'll all turn gray and fall out by that time period if we keep on that long. But, you know, it's going to be sort of a wait-and-see game when these funds figure they've got their exposure down low enough that they'd feel okay. And when these funds quit selling, why, you know, we'll probably see a little market turnaround. But, you know, locking limit down today in the corn and the beans is not a good start of deciding it'll happen tonight or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. What? Well, I mean, is it days? Do you think it's just a panic? Well, not panic reaction, but maybe an overreaction right now, and there will be an adjustment coming?
Well, I think that at some point, and that is yet to be determined. We thought that yesterday when we stabilized that we were eking out a consolidation phase there, and until the news of the Nikkei last night, why, even in the night trade up until midnight, we felt we were doing some choppy base building and that along the way. And then the Nikkei collapse did go ahead and take some steam out of this market, and it kept any of the would-be buyers out. We're also seeing an awful lot of probably margin call selling. The people that bought a lot higher felt that they should buy a dip on the way this was coming down, just on the fund liquidation from the week before the Japanese problem, Jay, and they're all in trouble, and their margin guy in Chicago is calling saying, we need money, and they're saying, get me out rather than send a check.
Mm-hmm. Are there concerns still today at this hour about Japan for the infrastructure doesn't have enough insurance to cover the rebuilding costs, and there may be some default on loans? Or
oh, I think there's every sort of worry in the world in Japan at this point in time. Number one, the radioactive material that's spilling out from some of these nuclear plants and the effect on the whole country, even some clouds up in the air to other countries, number one. Number two, can they rebuild and how soon can they rebuild and do I have enough money to rebuild is all one of the question marks. The Japanese economy was stressed just like all world economies have been. But they were the third largest economy in the world right now, just being surpassed in the last couple of years by China. So they are up there and doing good. The Bank of Japan is doing everything they can, but they're going to be strained to their limits on what they can and can't do because of the economic situation that they're in, just like the U.S. is right now.
All right. Well, we're keeping an eye on Japan, but there are some other areas in the country that some people are taking a look at, especially in the Middle East and North Africa, that are unsettled. There are weather situations in parts of Brazil. What's your analysis of those?
Well, that's why for a long time today, when corn was down the limit, beans weren't down the limit, thinking that a lot of the early guesstimates were talking about 72 million. Million metric tons of beans out of Brazil, and saying that the U.S. was short on their estimation the last thing. Now, because of the damage, the sprouting, the quality and quantity as far as the harvest is coming out of Mato Grosso, down there, they're shooting back towards the 70 million metric ton production figure out down there. That number one. Number two, the early leaking of what they think Informa was going to say was going to be to increase corn acreage planted in the U.S. and decrease the bean acres by what they're increasing the corn acres because of the economic advantage to planting corn. That also was a little bit that was holding beans up for a while this morning. So that, as we go, was trying to show a little strength towards the beans, but as the day wore on, as the bean oil continued to pull the beans lower, we saw the beans then close down the limit.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as strategy goes, what are your recommendations right now?
Well, I think that just like you said, we're looking for a little bit of a bounce here. We're not going to want to push sales down in these levels right now, so unfortunately, hopefully you're not too long, and if you were long, it was only in options, as we've recommended, and what we talked about so much over at the beef house there on a couple Tuesdays ago. So, you know, along the way, why we think that somewhere in here we're going to find economic value as we get past the Japanese situation as we look at it here, because down the road with all of their infrastructure problems, we're going to have some buying and importing to try to feed that nation.
All right, Wayne, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
And that's Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joining us on the closing market report. Just to toss in, the Fed today had its meeting and said that it will continue its plans to buy up to $600 billion in long-term treasuries through the end of June in an effort to spur stronger economic growth.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
In agricultural news, the location of Japan's devastating earthquake and tsunami is likely to limit the impact on the trade of most U.S. agricultural commodities, though exporters say they still don't have a clear assessment of infrastructure damage. A bulk of the damage appears to be at northern ports, too small to handle U.S. ships, while larger ports in southern areas could be up and running in the next week. USDA says it is monitoring satellite imagery in an effort to gauge the extent of the damage to farmland. Its initial assessment is that most of Japan's agricultural production land was not affected by the quake and tsunami. But the disaster may have cut Japan's grain warehousing capability by 15 to 20%, which could curb imports by 500,000 to 1 million metric tons. Feed processing facilities have also been damaged. The International Energy Agency today says that global oil demand will be lower than previously forecast in 2011 as high oil prices begin to have a toll on the global economy. The IEA, which advises 28 industrialized countries on energy policy, lowered its output for the global demand growth by 10,000 barrels per day to 1.44 million barrels per day. U.S. import prices rose for the fifth consecutive month in February as political turmoil in the Middle East helped push oil prices higher. Import prices jumped 1.4%. Fuel prices accounted for most of the increase, rising by 4% compared to non-fuel prices, which rose just 0.3%. The CEO of Sanderson Farms says that the U.S. poultry industry could suffer substantial reductions in production this year if crop problems drive feed prices higher. Joe Sanderson says that struggling U.S. chicken producers are losing money due to historically high feed costs. U.S. chickens eat about 1.2 billion bushels of corn a year, or about 9% of the U.S. crop. In February, Sanderson Farms, one of the most efficient producers, reported a larger-than-expected quarterly loss due to an excess of chicken and higher feed costs. The company has also delayed plans to build a new plant in North Carolina. The United Soybean Board and American Soybean Association have announced a Memorandum of Understanding and a Code of Conduct Agreement to provide a framework for the two groups to better work together on issues affecting soybean farmers. The agreements come after the two groups had publicly fought in recent years over allegations made by past ASA leadership that USB was not properly managing checkoff dollars. Part of the MOU states the two groups will hold periodic joint meetings of boards of directors and executive committees. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. The pork industry is walking a tightrope between profits and losses. Todd Gleason has more with Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt.
The pork industry in 2011 will be walking a tightrope between high hog prices and high feed prices. Purdue Extension ag economist Chris Hurt also says during that same time, consumers will pay record high prices for pork, and that equalizes the situation.
The outlook is in balance right now, as hog prices are expected to be high enough to cover the punishingly high feed prices. However, the consequences of losing that balance could have extreme financial consequences on producers if consumers balk at too high of pork prices or if weather threatens the 2011 crops.
It's taken 4 years, says Chris Hurt, but consumers are finally seeing the consequences of much higher feed prices in the form of high meat prices. In 2007, the animal industries were producing some 222 pounds of meat and poultry per person. This year, production will be about 207 pounds. A 6% reduction.
The output reductions came after enormous producer losses in 2008 and 2009. Now, with smaller supplies and a recovering world economy, consumers will face pork prices estimated at record highs of $3.36 per retail pound this year, and that's an estimated 8% increase over 2010.
Prices of corn and hogs have been behaving differently in the past 6 months, says Hurt. Historically, there is a tendency for corn and hog prices to move in opposite directions. However, in the past 6 months, corn and hog prices have both been moving higher. As corn prices moved higher, lean hog prices have tended to keep up with the higher cost implied by rising feed prices. Last fall, it was suggested that corn prices above $5.50 would throw the pork industry into losses. Now, lean hog futures have moved high enough for this spring and summer to suggest pork producers can pay up to $7.50 a bushel for corn.
What are those relationships between expected hog prices and corn and feed prices? Well, first, let's look at lean hog futures from the close on February 25, 2011. Those price levels equate to hog prices of about $60 per live hundredweight for the first quarter of this year, then moving up to near $70 averages for the second and the third quarters. Prices would then drop back to around $60 in the fall and winter, and then about $63 live per hundredweight in the second quarter of 2012.
Cost of production estimates are about $64 in the first quarter, $65 to $66 in the second and third quarters, and around $60 next fall and winter as a result of some reductions in feed cost with normal yields. This means that hog prices will be record high for the year at $64.50, with a record high production cost of $64, providing for a near break-even year in the hog industry. That delicate balance between hog price and cost continues into the first half of 2012. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
And you're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Jay Pearson. Joining us now, energy analysis, Mike Barwinski of Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City, Missouri. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Well, as we take a look, I guess oil prices are something everybody's looking at in the energies, and the situation in Japan is kind of taking putting the Middle East on the back burner today, and oil dropped as much as it has, in a long time.
Yeah, we dropped at one point over lower than $4, got below 97. You know, we still have some major support here. I think when we get down, just technical support, but definitely a lot of people are exiting the trade right now, kind of keeping their money on the sidelines all over the place. I mean, stock market, commodities, everything was down today.
And is that what it is, as far as the energies go, too? It's people sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of macro worries in the last few days. And basically, since the news came out about Japan, that we've seen a lot of people pulling out money out of energy, commodities, and the stock market, sort of waiting till things calm down a little bit and really see what the economic impact is going to be.
Mm-hmm. We had been looking at some bright news headlines as we saw that the EPA had approved gasoline containing up to 15% ethanol, up from 10%, and that the labeling is going to be happening, and that in time for the summer driving season now, it's expected that it'll be available in the United States. What impact is the corn market having right now on the ethanol, and what's Japan having on the ethanol, too?
Japan is not having too much. I think ethanol is mostly following corn here, as long as with the rest of the outside markets. As far as the E15 goes, I think the majority of the market is not really accepting that it's going to happen any time in the next 6 to 8 months. There's still a lot of state approvals. There's not as many blender pumps, pump approval. You know, there's a lot of worry about liability. So there's still a lot of question marks out there that will need to be answered before people really start increasing their blends beyond 10%. The support in Washington is also waning a little bit. We've seen in the last 4 or 5 days alone, I think, 3 separate bills filed to try and remove the blender's credit of 45 cents a gallon. So that would definitely, if it does happen, I put sort of a low probability on it, but that would definitely have a negative effect towards the ethanol market.
Okay, anything else you want to touch on today? Any big thing you're looking for to perk up the markets?
Yeah, I think exports have been a major story here for ethanol. We're pricing well versus sugar into a lot of export markets, even into northern Brazil. So I think as far as ethanol goes, that's going to be a major focus here in the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay, the exports. We'll keep an eye on that. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right, thank you.
That is Mike Barwinski, and he's with Louis Dreyfus in Kansas City, Missouri. And coming up on the Closing Market Reports, we are going to be taking a look at the agricultural weather, which has been of some concern in the Northern Plains and also down in Brazil, and we'll see where else, as we are joined for the agricultural weather by Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. That is coming up in just a few minutes here on today's Closing Market Report.
Capistrano may have their swallows, but Hinckley, Ohio has turkey buzzards. They return to the town each year on or about this same date for the summer. They winter in Dade County, Florida. On this day in agricultural history in 1858, Liberty Hyde Bailey was born. An American horticulturalist, he helped create the science of horticulture, made systematic studies of cultivated plants, and was a recognized authority on plant pathology and agriculture. He made special studies of blackberries, grapes, cabbages, and squashes. Bailey served as Dean of Agriculture at Cornell University for 15 years. In 1889, Melvin Reuben Bissell died. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876. The inner workings and cases were made by women working in their homes. Tufts of hog bristles were bound with string dipped in hot pitch, inserted in brush rollers, and finally trimmed with scissors. In 1980, McDonald's test marketed Chicken McNuggets in Knoxville, Tennessee. The chicken nugget was invented in the 1950s by Robert Baker, a food science professor at Cornell University. And in 1998, Edwin Shoemaker died, an American inventor and engineer. He created the recliner chair and founded the Lazy Boy Furniture Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Jay Pearson. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, as you look out your weather observatory window, what are you seeing?
Well, I see it looking and feeling a little bit like springtime out there. Temperatures across the Midwest and most of the nation east of the Rockies will be enjoying some mild spring-like temperatures and conditions. We do see precipitation chances starting to become a little bit more of a factor as we get towards the weekend and into early next week especially. But it looks pretty much as it should for this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Are we looking at any trouble spots? I know the northern plains, we're looking at a little excess moisture, perhaps the threat of some flooding.
Well, that's certainly going to be a concern. With the warmer temperatures, the Red River Valley areas of North Dakota, Minnesota, we'll not only be looking at accelerated snowmelt with the warmer temperatures, but there's going to be some good chances for some heavier precipitation with not only one, but several systems moving through. Some portions of the northern Great Lakes as well as New England, going to be looking at the concerns for more flooding.
Mm-hmm. What if you look internationally? I know Brazil was having some issues.
Yeah, and they're going to still be wet. In fact, it looks like down in Brazil, chances of rain all across that country, all in the growing areas, looks to be pretty wet. Some of that precipitation also getting into central and northern Argentina as well, but by far the heavier precipitation going to be in Brazil.
Okay. Now, we've had some planting in the south begin, but a lot of folks throughout the Corn Belt are looking for that not only dry weather, but a little warmer weather. What is going to be the forecast?
Well, here we are, middle of March, starting to get our temperatures warmer. But we still see up in Canada, especially in North Slope of Alaska, Northwest Territories, still plenty of colder air up there. So we're still going to be concerned about a couple of stronger cold fronts that could still bring winter weather back into here. This is something that we'll need to watch in about, oh, let's say, a week to 10 days from now, a transition to some colder weather. The next week is going to be pretty mild. One thing that is showing up that might be a little bit concerned is the southern plain states have been dry all winter season, some of the southeast as well. That may continue at least into the second half of the month.
Okay. What about precipitation then up around the Corn Belt area?
Well, it looks like the northern Corn Belt's going to have the best chance. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, I think Iowa is in a good position to have widespread precipitation. The drier areas of the Corn Belt will be the central and the southern areas.
Okay, and you say in a week or 10 days we're going to see it cool down a bit one more time. How long will that last?
Well, probably this time of year you get patterns that will hold for about a week to 10 days or so.
Okay.
Right now the colder, wetter weather is going to be in the west through into the early parts of next week. Middle to the end of next week, some of that colder weather will shift into the Midwest.
All right, Don, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. before the key end of the month reports, and you can do that at willag, that's W-I-L-L-A-G, all one word, .org. You can use the link in the right navigation window there. I'm Jay Pierce.